name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. First, I'd like to thank our children, the choir of primary school and also middle and high school for their performance and their presentation. As Abuna Budu said, we will study tonight chapter 1 from the letter of St. Paul to Galatians. First, I'd like to give you an introduction about this letter. The author of this letter is St. Paul, as is evident from Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, and also from Galatians chapter 5, verse 2. This letter was sent to the churches of Galatia. But there are two theories here. Because in the north part of Asia Minor, there was ethnic Galatia. And in the southern part, there is the Roman province of Galatia. And we cannot determine whether this letter was sent to the ethnic Galatia or to the central, central part of Asia Minor, which is the Roman province of Galatia. But most of the commentators of the Bible said it was sent to the province, the Roman province of Galatia, which was in the south part of Asia Minor. And the date and place of writing depends on which theory we will follow. If we will follow the theory that it was sent to the North Galatia, St. Paul, as we read in the book of Acts, did not visit North Galatia until the beginning of his third missionary trip. And thus, the date of this letter will be around 54 or 55 AD. But if we follow the theory of the southern Galatia, which, as I told you, this is the most accepted theory, then St. Paul wrote this letter either from Corinth or Antioch or Ephesus or Macedonia, but most probably he wrote it from Ephesus around 55 AD. So the most accepted theory about the date and place, this letter was written by St. Paul while he was in Ephesus around 55 AD, and he sent it to the churches of Galatia, which was the Roman province of Galatia in the southern part of Asia Minor. Why St. Paul sent this letter? After he established the church there, some people, Christian teacher, but from Jewish background, they start to preach that without keeping the words of law, you cannot be saved. Without keeping the words of the law, you cannot be saved. As if they are saying the blood of Jesus Christ is not enough for salvation. Those teachers who teach that salvation through the works of the law, we call them Judaizers, because they want the people to return back to Judaism. That's why we call them Judaizers. So, St. Paul wrote this letter, number one, to respond to the Judaizers, to prove to them that salvation is through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, not through the works of the law. And also, those people, in order to accuse St. Paul that his teaching is wrong, they said St. Paul is not an apostle from God because he did not see the Lord Jesus Christ like the 12 apostles. So they were denying his apostleship. That's why the second reason why St. Paul wrote this letter, to defend and also to verify his apostleship and his calling from God. So there are two purposes of this letter. Number one, to verify his apostleship and to defend it. And number two, to respond to the Judaizers who are teaching that salvation is through the works of law. Today we'll start by studying chapter 1. Paul, an apostle not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. In other letter, Paul described himself as prisoner of Jesus Christ, or as a bond servant of Jesus Christ. But in this letter, St. Paul described himself as Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through men, but through Jesus Christ. Because, as I told you, he was defending and verifying his apostleship. And he wanted to say that his apostleship is divine, not human. And that's why his words and his teaching is true. He said, I am an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. We read in the book of Acts that Hananiah baptized St. Paul. And also we read in the book of Acts chapter 15 that the apostles prayed and laid their hands on St. Paul before they sent him to his missionary trip. So how come St. Paul says he is an apostle not from men nor through man? Although it's clear that he was baptized by Hananiah and the apostles laid their hands on his head in order to ordain him and send him for his missionary trip. Although we receive the gift of priesthood through men, but actually the calling is from God. Men are like tools in the hand of God. So when Hananiah baptized St. Paul, Hananiah was a tool in the hand of God. But it is God who performs the sacrament. Like in the Divine Liturgy, the real priest, the real high priest, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the priest who stands before the altar is just a tool in the hand of God. So, although Paul was baptized by Hananiah and the apostle laid their hands on him, but he made it very clear his calling is from God. So we should know that it is not Abuna who calls us to service. It's not the bishop who calls us to serve God. But it is God directly who is calling us through his stewards. And St. Paul feels that the Holy Trinity was involved in his calling. He said he is an apostle through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. So the Father and the Son called St. Paul to the priesthood and the apostleship. And why he mentioned the resurrection from the dead here? Because it is through the resurrection of Christ we become justified by his grace and not through the works of the law. And let me explain this, because this is the main theme of the letter to Galatians. Justification. Is it by grace or by the works of the law? Definitely, the salvation and the justification is through the grace of God. We are not justified by works. If we can be justified by works, then Christ died in vain. So justification is through the grace of God. The works of the law failed to justify all the people from Adam till the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody was waiting for a Savior. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on the cross and rose from the dead, here we receive justification through his blood. So, in the Old Testament, you start as a sinner, and you try to keep the words, but the words will fail to justify you. But in the New Testament, you come and accept the baptism, and through the baptism, you are born again as a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are justified because you are born again, and your sins are washed away in the water of baptism, and now you are qualified to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in the sacrament of the confirmation, and become a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. And we receive this by grace, not by works. Tell me what the young infant did or performed. What work did he do in order to receive this justification? He didn't do anything, but it is the grace of God. That's why when we baptize a child, we make him wear white clothes to represent the new life and the justification that you receive through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, in the New Testament, you start as justified, new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your sins are washed in the water of baptism. Then the works here is to keep you in this status that you receive from the Lord Jesus Christ. So, as His Holiness Pope Shenouda says, we are not justified by works, because we are justified by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, by His grace. But we cannot be justified without works. So, works are not the reason of our justification, not the cause of our justification. Works fail to justify us. But works is a condition in order to keep the grace and the justification that we receive from the Lord Jesus Christ. So, St. Paul here, when he mentioned through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, he wants to say it is through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, through his death, shedding his blood, and his resurrection, we became justified by his grace, and not through the works of the law. Verse 2, and all the brethren who are with me. So, St. Paul is telling them, what I'm going to write in this letter is not only my opinion, but also in the opinion of all the brethren, all the servants who are working with me. And all of us, we have the same faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. So here indicates that this letter is sent to the churches in Galatia. Verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Usually St. Paul, almost in all his epistles, he used this salutation or greeting, grace and peace. And if you think about it, these are the most needed gifts in our life. Because without the grace of God, we cannot achieve anything. We need the grace of God in order to protect us from drifting away. We need the grace of God in order to prosper in what we are doing. Without His grace, we cannot achieve anything. And we need the peace of God because we are living in a world that's full of confusion, full of storms, full of distraction. That's why we need the peace of God to protect our hearts. As He told us, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, so I do. I wish that in our prayer, we pray for the grace and peace. When we pray for our children, we pray for the grace and peace. As St. Paul, usually he was praying for grace and peace to come upon the believers. In the case of the Church of Galatia, they need the grace of God to protect them from drifting away from the truth, from the true doctrine. And they need the peace of God to protect them from the distraction of the false teacher, the Judaizers. And definitely, who has the grace of God will enjoy the peace of God too. So if we have the grace of God, we will enjoy His peace. And it is the will of God the Father to give us the grace and the peace. And we receive them by the work of the Son, by His redemption that He fulfilled on the cross and through the Holy Spirit. That's why He said, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. The Lord Jesus Christ gave His life on the cross, died on the cross. Why? For our sins, in order to justify us. Again, St. Paul is emphasizing that justification through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil age. We are surrounded by evil. We are surrounded by temptation all the time. And through the blood of Jesus and the power of the cross, we will be delivered from this present age. So, God forgave our sins in order to give us His grace and to give us His peace. Our sins are forgiven through His grace and not through the works of the law. This grace is also needed to deliver us, according to the will of God, from the present evil age and its temptation. So this is the will of God the Father, as He said in verse 4, according to the will of our God and Father. And when St. Paul reflected on the work of the Holy Trinity in our justification and in our salvation, that's why he concluded this passage by giving praise and glory to God, when he said in verse 5, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Once the person starts to understand the depth of the grace of God and how he, out of his love, He forgive our sins and He give us His grace and peace, then this will turn in our hearts into thanksgiving, into praise the Lord and glorifying His holy name. After this salutation or greeting in the first five verses, from verse 6 to 10, St. Paul explained to them the reason of for his letter, why he wrote this letter. And we notice that St. Paul did not praise them or commend them as he used in other letters. Usually in other letters, he starts by praising the people for their faith, but apparently St. Paul was disappointed at the people in Galatia, or actually he was angry because they drifted away from the truth. That's why he started immediately, without even mentioning any word of praise, by telling them, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of God to a different gospel." The people actually turned away from doctrine, from the true doctrine. But St. Paul did not tell them, "You turn away from the true doctrine," but he told them, "You are turning away so soon from Him," Him referring to God, "from God who called you in the grace of Christ." So St. Paul is trying to tell them, turning away from the truth actually is turning away from God Himself. Why? Because God is the truth. As He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So when we turn away from the truth, when we are drifted away from the truth, then we are drifted away from God Himself. God called us in order to enjoy the grace that we received in Christ, that we received through the death and resurrection of Christ. So, why we return back to the words of the Lord? God set us free and gave us this grace as a free gift. Why we turn it back and we say, unless we keep the works, we are not justified? That's why St. Paul told them, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ, to enjoy the grace of Christ, to a different gospel." To a different gospel, gospel here means doctrine, preaching. So, into a different doctrine, a false doctrine, away from the truth. Which, verse 7, which is not another gospel. So St. Paul used two words here we need to differentiate. Different gospel and another gospel. What he means by different gospel and what he means by another gospel. When he used different, means the difference in the teaching, in the doctrine itself. But when he used another gospel, he is referring to the record itself, like the gospel of Mark, the gospel of Luke, the gospel of John, the gospel of Matthew. So we can say the gospel of Mark is another gospel. So St. Paul is telling them, you are drifting away or turning away into a different gospel, which is not another gospel, which is not another writer recording for us the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you are turning into a totally different doctrine. So you are not turning into another gospel, which is the same doctrine but written by another author, but actually you are turning away into a different doctrine, into a false doctrine, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. So St. Paul here is referring to the false teachers, the Judaizers. He told them, because there are some false teachers troubling you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. So actually, we can say preaching false doctrine is perverting the gospel of Christ and troubling the people. Actually, is offending the people. And here I recall the word of our Lord Jesus Christ when he said, if anyone offends any of my little children, it is better for him to be drowned in the sea. And he says, woe to him who brought offense to others. That's why St. Paul said, these false teachers are troubling you and confusing you and perverting the gospel of Christ and making you turning away from the truth into fables. Preaching false doctrine is a major sin. And that's why the person who does it will be accursed from God, as St. Paul said. In verse 8, St. Paul said, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what you have preached to you, let him be accursed. St. Paul saying that the punishment of the false teachers who are perverting the gospel of Christ and troubling the people and offending them, strike what the Lord Jesus Christ said about them and about their punishment. So let them be accursed. And St. Paul actually included himself in this excommunication when he said, if we, to indicate that what it really matters is not the person who preach, but the content of preaching. Why St. Paul said this? Because many people actually was denying his apostleship. They said St. Paul did not see the Lord Jesus Christ. So St. Paul is saying here, it doesn't matter who is preaching you. Even if an angel came from the heaven to preach you, but if he preached you a false doctrine, let him be accursed. If we come to you again and perverted the gospel of Christ, let us be accursed. That's why he included himself in this excommunication. Even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. And the repetition in verse 9 is to indicate the seriousness of the issue at hand. And here I want to emphasize something very important. Because many people belittle the importance of doctrine and say, why are you making big issues about the doctrine? All what it pertains is that you love Christ. So there is no difference between this denomination or this denomination, or between this doctrine and doctrine. People just try to make big deal out of minor things. And I think these two verses make us take this issue very, very seriously. St. Paul here was defending the truth. And he said, if anybody teaches false doctrine other than the truth, let him be accursed. So it is a very serious matter. Don't say it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter which denomination I go to. It doesn't matter which teacher I listen to. No, it really matters. Because this will make confusion in our heart. And once the person is drifted away from the truth, he will be drifted into what? Into fables. And will be drifted from God himself, because God is the truth. Many times the truth irritates others, but we should not compromise the truth in order to please people. That's why St. Paul in verse 10 said, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? If I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." St. Paul is saying, I am here to preach the truth. I am not going to please men. I'm not going to teach what the people want to listen. Because many people actually want the teachers to dilute the truth in order to be appealing to them. But St. Paul said, no, I will not change the truth. I will not be a man pleaser, but I will preach the truth. And if I am a man pleaser, I wouldn't be a bond servant of Christ, because I am here to please God, not to men. I'm not here to please men. And also, St. Paul is referring, if I want to please men, I wouldn't be Christian right now. I would be Jewish, pleasing the high priest, persecuting Christian, killing them. That actually what pleases the high priests of the Jewish nation. But no, when Jesus met me on the road to Damascus and I knew the truth, then I decided to accept the truth and to live by the truth. And from verse 11, St. Paul starts to explain his divine calling. After he told them about the Judaizers who were troubling them and perverting the gospel of Christ, and after he excommunicated them, then he tried to explain to them how he became an apostle. From verse 11, he said, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man." St. Paul, again, is verifying the origin of his apostleship, that he received his apostleship from God, and also the gospel that he's preaching, the teaching that he is preaching, he received directly from God, not from men. And what is this gospel that he is referring to? That justification is by the grace of God, not by the works of the law. Verse 12, "For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." St. Paul is saying that this gospel, no man taught it to me, but actually, I received it through revelation. It was like a direct revelation from God to St. Paul. And St. Paul was known with his many, many visions, as he mentioned in his letter to Corinth. And actually he said, because of the multitude and the abundance of revelations and vision, God allowed him to have the thorn in the flesh. Verse 13, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it." St. Paul here is trying to tell them, I want you to see the grace of God. How the grace of God transformed me from a persecutor of the church to a persecuted person for the sake of Christ. My former life was to destroy the church. My goal was to destroy the church of God. And I persecuted the church of God. But now the grace of God transformed me completely. And he said, I persecuted the church of God beyond measure, and tried to destroy it. St. Paul actually was a very zealous Jew. But we know that Judaism actually is a religion from God. So, is Judaism the reason for St. Paul's violence? St. Paul was very violent before his conversion to Christianity. As he said, I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. So what is the reason of his violence here? Is it Judaism? St. Paul actually answers this question in verse 14 and 15. He said, am I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers? So, the first reason why St. Paul became violent is not the teaching of Judaism, but it is the tradition of men. Not the divine tradition, not the holy tradition. As he said, I being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. And here we have the teaching of people and the divine teaching of God. Human traditions made him proud and paying more attention to the letter than to the spirit. And this was actually the tradition of the Pharisees. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ rebuked them for their hypocrisy. He told them, you tithe, anise, cumin, so you keep the little things of the law, but you neglect the more important things, which are mercy, justice. The Lord did not tell them, you should not keep these things. That's why he said, you ought to do this and don't let the other undone. But St. Paul, as a Pharisee, was taught to focus on the letter and forget the spirit. That's why he became proud, blind, and violent, because he followed the tradition of people, not the tradition of God, not the teaching of God. And also, as he said, I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, and became exceedingly jealous. That's another reason. It is the blind prejudice and the zeal which is not according to knowledge. St. Paul in Romans chapter 10, verse 2, when he spoke about the Jewish people, he said, I bear witness for them that they are zealous, but not according to knowledge. So, when you have zeal in your heart, but you are lacking the knowledge, this zeal may turn into violence. Like the terrorists. The terrorists have zeal to their faith. But because it is not according to the knowledge, not according to the knowledge of the truth, that's why they end up as terrorists. So these are the two reasons for St. Paul's violence before his conversion to Christianity. Number one, following tradition of men, not the condition of God, and number two, the blind prejudice and the zeal which is not according to the knowledge of truth. Verse 15, he starts to explain the work of grace in his life. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. St. Paul said, it is God's pleasure to call all of us to salvation. Not only St. Paul, all of us are called for salvation. As we read in the third watch of the midnight hour, do not fear, little flock, because it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. So it is the pleasure of God to give us the kingdom, to give us the grace and to be justified. When it pleased God, who separated me. By the way, the word Pharisee in Hebrew means separated. So St. Paul actually, he was a Pharisee, a son of Pharisee. So he was separated to preserve and to watch the words of the law. But now God separated him for the gospel of salvation, for the gospel of grace. So this like a transformation in his life. God, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, when St. Paul said from my mother's womb, he wants, then it is not based on my works, because in my mother's womb I didn't do any work. But when God separated me and appointed me and chose me to be saved and for this mission, God actually called me through his grace, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. And here I want to emphasize again, God actually called each one of us from our mother's womb to his grace, through his grace, to receive salvation. But it is up to you to accept it or to reject it. Because I don't want some people to believe that God predestined some people for this salvation and others not. No. It is God's pleasure to give all of us the kingdom and the salvation. He predestined all of us to the inheritance of kingdom of God. But God did not deprive us from our free will. So again, it's our free will whether to accept this calling or to reject it. St. Paul rejected for a long time, and then he accepted when the Lord appeared to him. Another point here, God calls each one of us for a certain purpose. And when we are created to fulfill a certain task. God just not created us haphazardly or randomly. No. When God created you, God created you for a certain task that you should fulfill it. Like CEO in a company, when he hires people, he doesn't just hire people randomly. Actually, he has a plan, he knows exactly what he wants, and he hires people in order to fulfill certain tasks and certain missions. In the same way, when God created you and created me, he created us for a certain task and a certain mission. We are not created randomly. As we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God prepared these words beforehand, even before we are created. Like with Jeremiah, God called him before actually he was formed in his mother's womb. John the Baptist, God actually sent Archangel Gabriel and told Zechariah what is the purpose from his life and his creation. So God has a purpose in your life, has a plan for you. And when we live fulfilling this goal, we will find meaning to our life and will be happy and joyful in our life. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, What does it mean to reveal his son in me? St. Paul, when he was preaching, he did not speak about God, but actually he preached Christ who was revealed in his life and living in him. There is a big difference between I speak about God while God does not exist in my life. But for St. Paul, it was different. He said, to live is Christ. So Christ lived in him. And actually Christ was revealed in the life of St. Paul. People can see Christ clearly in the life of St. Paul. That's why he said, to reveal his son in me. We can see the Lord Jesus Christ in St. Paul. And this is actually the true preaching. I pray that we, the servants of God, we just don't speak about God, but we live Christ. To live is Christ. And then Christ will be revealed in us, in our life, more than in our worlds. The Lord lived and was revealed in St. Paul's life. That's why he was not speaking about God, but preaching Christ who lived in him. To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. So, God's purpose in St. Paul's life to be an apostle for the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? The Gentiles are the non-Jewish. The Jewish people, because of their prejudice, they classified the world into either you are Jewish or non-Jewish. The non-Jewish, they called them Gentiles. And the Jewish are, according to them, the chosen people of God. But St. Paul said, God called me in order to be an apostle for the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. Once St. Paul knew his calling, he did not consult with anybody, even did not consult with himself. Jonah consulted with himself, and first he refused to fulfill the calling of God. Many times when God calls us, we try to think and we consult. But if God called us, then we have to obey. God called Peter, Andrew, James, John, and we read in the Gospel, they left everything and they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. He called Matthew, the tax collector. He left everything and immediately followed the Lord Jesus Christ. When God calls us, we need to follow. That's why he said, when it pleased God to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. I did not consult anybody. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, was referring to the 12th year. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. When St. Paul said, I did not go up to Jerusalem, why? When the Lord appeared to St. Paul on the road to Damascus, St. Paul actually was very puzzled by this vision and tried to reflect on his life. That's why he went into like a desert, a place away from everybody, in order to retreat with God, to retreat with himself, to reflect about this calling and this vision, to check all his knowledge in Judaism and where is the truth. That's why he said, when God appeared to me, I didn't go to Jerusalem, to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Where is Arabia? Actually, we don't know exactly what St. Paul meant by Arabia. But in the same letter, Galatians chapter 5, chapter 4, verse 25, St. Paul said, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. That's why many commentators say, when he said, I went to Arabia, this means he went to Mount Sinai. And this makes a lot of sense because Moses received the law on the Mount Sinai. Elijah, when he fled, he went to Mount Sinai. So most probably, St. Paul, when he wanted to retreat and to reflect, he went to Mount Sinai. And as he said in chapter 4, it is Arabia. And he stayed there for some time, reflecting on his life. And this shows the importance of the retreat and reflection before starting mission or ministry. That's why after ordination of a new priest, he goes to a monastery for 40 days to reflect and to spend these days in prayer and retreat, preparing himself for the ministry. As the Lord Jesus Christ, after his baptism, went to the wilderness and stayed 40 days in retreat. So St. Paul went, spent some time in Arabia, and then he returned back to Damascus. When he said he did not go to apostles, this is not pride, but he is emphasizing that his apostleship is from God, not from men. Then verse 18, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, remained with him 15 days. So after 3 years serving in Syria and Damascus, he went up to Jerusalem in order to see Peter, to know him. He heard about Peter, so he went to see him and remained with Peter 15 days. And during this time, he didn't see anybody except James. James was the bishop of Jerusalem, and he was called James the Lesser to differentiate him from James, son of Zebedee, the brother of John. James the Lesser, who was the bishop of Jerusalem, is also called the brother of the Lord, because he is either his cousin or he is son of Joseph from a previous marriage. There are two theories about James, whether he is son of Joseph the carpenter from a previous marriage, or he is the Lord's cousin. That's why in verse 19, but I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Definitely, Lord's brother doesn't mean son of Saint Mary. Definitely not. But either his cousin or son of Joseph the carpenter from a previous marriage. Verse 20, now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. St. Paul here is emphasizing before God that he is saying the truth. He is not lying. So that his apostleship is from God. Verse 21, afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. He went to Syria and Cilicia as we read it in Acts chapter 9, verse 30, and Acts chapter 11, verse 25. Actually, after this, St. Paul went to Jerusalem another time, a second time. But he did not mention anything about his second visit to Jerusalem. Because in chapter 2, verse 1, it said, then after 14 years I went up again to Jerusalem. This was actually the third visit. So there was a second visit to Jerusalem St. Paul did not mention. And this second visit, we read about it in Acts chapter 11, verse 13, and Acts chapter 12, verse 25. Why he didn't mention anything about the second visit to Jerusalem? Because as we read in the book of Acts, the purpose of this visit is just to deliver the Titus, the arms, to the church in Jerusalem. He did not do any preaching. And actually, he was not known by the churches of Judea. Nobody knew him at that time. That's why he didn't refer to this visit at all. Verse 22, and I was unknown by faith to the churches of Judea which were in Christ. So he said, nobody actually knew me in Jerusalem. They heard about me, but they did not know me. Why he mentioned this? One of the allegations against St. Paul was that he himself observed the law among the Jews and actually was teaching the Jews to keep the law. This was a false accusation against St. Paul. But for the Gentiles, he persuaded them to renounce the law. Why? Why St. Paul did this? The false accusation continues and says, because it was his motive to keep the convert in a subordinate state, to keep them subordinate to the Jewish people, excluded from the full privilege of Christianity which were enjoyed by the Jewish people only. So the false teachers, when they went to the Gentiles in Galatia, they told them, don't leave St. Paul. St. Paul in Judea, he was preaching them to keep the law and to observe the law. And St. Paul himself observed the law. But to you Gentiles, he persuaded you not to keep the law. Why? Because he wants you to be inferior to the Jewish people. Did you forget that he was a very zealous Jewish person? So he wants you to keep you inferior in a subordinate state, excluded from the full privilege of the circumcised Christian. And definitely this was a false accusation. That's why St. Paul said, if I preach in the churches in Judea, I would be known to them. But actually, I was unknown by faith to the churches of Judea which were in Christ. Verse 23, but they were hearing only he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. So the people in Jerusalem didn't know St. Paul by faith, but only they heard about the work of grace in the life of St. Paul. How St. Paul, after was persecuting and trying to destroy the Church of God, now St. Paul is preaching Christ. Now he preached Christ. When St. Paul in verse 23 said, now preach the faith here is not the act of believing only, But the fifth year refers to the whole gospel, to the whole gospel, the doctrine of salvation. Verse 24, and they glorified God in me. Why he said they glorified God in me? Because it's not my work. It's not my work that transformed me, but it is the grace of God. That's why they glorified God, the grace of God itself. So having understood the entire change, and that the former persecutor is now acting the shepherd's part, they receive occasion for joyful thanksgiving to God and respect to St. Paul, and they acknowledge the grace of God that was working in him. And St. Paul is telling them, the Jewish people, the Jewish Christian, or the Christian from Jewish background in Jerusalem, actually they are glorifying God in me. And you, Galatians, although I am your apostle, because I'm the apostle of the Gentiles, actually you are casting doubt on my apostleship. So compare this spirit from your spirit. And here just, I want to emphasize a very important point. The successful servant is the one who draws people attention and praise toward God, not himself. Glorify God in me, not glorifying me. If you're making people to glorify you, then you are not a successful servant. A humble and successful servant, he draws the people's praise and glory toward God, not toward himself. Because when we praise the servant himself, we maintain him with great glory. But praising the Lord protect actually, or glorifying God in the life of this servant, protect the servant. And St. Paul also, by mentioning they glorified God in me, he is emphasizing that there was no enmity between him and the churches in Judea. So in this chapter, St. Paul emphasizes that his apostleship is from God, not from men. He justified that it is the grace of God who transformed him and changed him from a persecutor of the church into a preacher of the truth. Also in this gospel, St. Paul excommunicated the false teachers who were perverting the gospel of Christ and troubling the people by their false doctrine. If you have any comment or question on this chapter. Glory be to God for the blessing.